Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I entitled this message today, Our Expectations and God's Responses. There's times in our Christian journey that we find ourselves expecting something from the Lord. You know, our hearts are expecting, we're really pressing in. And I like to look up definitions, and the definition of expectation is an anticipation, it's looking forward to something, and it's a reason for expecting something. So what are your expectations in God? Are they realistic? Are they unrealistic? Or what are you pressing in for? What are you contending for? What are you believing for? What are you pressing in for? How amazing it is to be able to live our lives in expectations. Because when we expect something from the Lord, He is quick to have a response to it. You know, sometimes we don't always get the response that we want, but there's a response. But sometimes we get a response from the Lord, and sometimes it's quicker than we think. And sometimes it comes unexpectedly. So as we work our way through the scriptures today, I want you to pay attention to one key word. And the word is suddenly. Because in the passages that I'm going to use tonight, the word suddenly always dictates God's response. In Hebrews 11:1, in the NIV, it says, Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But in the New Living Translation, it says, Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. You see, faith really fuels our expectations, and it pulls on God's response to us. The Word of God is full of people who were expecting God to do great things, who were after His heart, and sometimes for years. But there was always an expectation. And there was a faith that fueled their expectations because they had a faith. I think of Abraham and how many years for the promise of Isaac. You know, all these things, years and years that people contended for things in the Bible. So tonight I want us to look at three aspects, three different expectations. First is our expectation in praise. The second one is our expectation in prayer. And then the last one is our expectation in the supernatural. And we're going to look at the Lord's response to all three of those. I'm going to be in Acts 16, starting at verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, a spirit of divination. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled. They turned around and said to the Spirit, In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar and advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten, and after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, which starts the third watch of the night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there it is. So they're praying, and they're singing hymns, and what is their expectation of God in that moment? Their expectation is really for God to receive their praise, to receive their offering of worship unto Him. But then God shifts things, because suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Not just Paul and Silas who were worshiping, but everybody. And the prisoners were listening to them, it said. So everybody's chains came loose, and all the doors flew open. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, Don't harm yourself. We are all here. See, because if any prisoners would have escaped, the magistrates would have probably had him executed for their escape. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He had to recognize that this was a sovereign act of God, that this earthquake kind of thing didn't happen every day. And all of a sudden, and the prisoners, if they were able to escape, that they stuck around, that didn't happen every day either. For him to be able to say, "What do I do to must be saved?" to be saved, he felt the presence of the Lord. He had to feel that this was the real deal. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. The whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. So here he was going to commit suicide and kill himself, but yet he cleaned out their wounds and then he made them a meal because he saw the powerful act of God. You know, there was that suddenly. So all the doors flew open, all the chains were released. So it's the thing that it benefited them. It was an amazing benefit to them. But what are your expectations when you praise? Do you feel God hears you sing? Do you feel that when you engage your heart to the Lord, is there something? Are you just singing because everybody else is singing, that's to do? But if you get into a place of worship, what are you expecting God to do? Are you expecting God to hear him? It says he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we get into a place of praise, you know, it is one of the most high places and the high things that we can do before the Lord. Things happen. The atmosphere shifts. Things change. Things move. And God responded to them. Now, they didn't say, you don't hear their prayers saying, "Oh, Lord, would you just bust this place wide open as we sing to you?" That's not in here. I would love to know. I think they were just exalting the Lord. Here they were beaten, stripped, in the middle of the jail, midnight, and they just began to worship him. And God met them in that place. He met them in that place. So what are your expectations when you praise God and when you praise him? So, you know, you just never know. Do we look for the suddenlies in our lives? Do we look for the suddenlies in our lives? The things change instantly in a minute. God can change everything for you. When God shows up in a suddenly moment, it's a deal changer right there. Everything changes. You know, the life of that jailer, you know, changed forever. I tell you, when I get to the Lord, when I get to glory, I know the Lord's got the most state-of-the-art DVD player for me with all the unfinished stories in the Bible, because I want to know what happened to this guy. Did he stay a jailer? Or did he become a preacher? What happened to this guy? We don't read about him again. The last thing we read is that he was going to harm himself. He didn't. He got saved. He cleaned their wounds, he fed them a meal, and we hear of him no more. But you know that you know, by his response, his life was changed forever. It was changed forever. And what about the prisoners who were all there, who were watching? Then all of a sudden, they're released, they don't leave. What happened to them? What's their story? So those are the kind of things, those unfinished stories in the Word of God. I tell you, I just want to have the Lord just tell me those unfinished stories. Oh yeah, that guy, that's what happened to them. So I just want to know those things. So the second one is our expectations in prayer. So what do you think happens when you pray? Do you expect something to happen when you pray? Or do we pray because that's what Christians do? That's what people who are seeking the Lord do. We pray. But what are your expectations? What is your level of faith when you pray? And what is God's response to you when you pray? Do you believe that God hears you each and every time you pray? One time I was going in for a surgery and I was a little unsettled about it. I was praying, "Lord, if you want to heal me before I even go into that surgery, if you want to use a doctor, so be it. But if you want to heal me, Lord, before I even go in this surgery, then that's really cool too, you know?" So I'm praying like that. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit breaks in and says, "Do you believe that something happens every time you pray for healing?" And I had to think about it, and I said, "Yeah. Whether you get the manifestation of the healing that you desire or not, do you think something happens?" And I had to say, "Yes. Lord, if anything, there's fellowship between you and I. My faith is activated, and I'm trusting in you completely, and I'm turning it over to you completely. So yes, something happens. Every time I pray for healing, whether I get the desired manifestation in that moment or not, I have to believe that God's response is there. I'm interacting with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying. My heart is connected with God. Something happens. And I tell you, that moment on, it changed the way that I prayed. It changed the way I prayed for healing. Because I go in every time expecting. I go in with an expectation that something is going to happen every time I pray. So does something happen every time you pray? So I want us to look again in Acts chapter 12 this time. And this is the story about Peter. Oh, before I go there, I want to say one other thing. You know, there's so what happens when you pray? When you're praying for a need or you're just praying for someone, if you're praying for someone to be saved and come to know the Lord, what is your expectation? Do you believe that they're going to get saved one day? You know, I love to, I'm using the first Bible I ever got. And in here, I have like 2 pages of names that I have that I wanted people to get saved. And there's probably about 30 names in here that are circled that I know of that people got saved. One day I was just writing people. I went to grade school, high school. All these names were coming to me, and I just wrote them down at the beginning of the Bible. And then when I began to hear that people were getting saved, I would circle their name and just begin to pray for them. And I go back to that page sometimes, and I just pray for them. So what is your expectation every time you pray? I was finishing up at Bethel College in 2001, and I had to take one more language class. So it worked out for my schedule to take a tutor Spanish class. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, how much does a tutor class at Bethel College cost? Well, it was $1,200 for one class because I had a tutor. I had $300 in my account, and I said, okay, Lord, this was a Thursday, and I needed it by Monday morning. I said, okay, Lord, I need $900. If you want me to take this class, somehow, some way, I need $900 by Monday morning. So the next day, a friend of mine comes in my office, and he says, hey, are you in a class? I thought you were done. I said, I got to take one more. He goes, oh, that explains it. He goes, this guy paid me back $500. I never thought I'd ever see it. And the minute he put it in my hand, the Lord said, Stan needs it for a class. And so I was like, okay, there's 500, 400 more to go. So Monday morning, I'm praying, asking the Lord, okay, Lord, you have 400 more to go. The treasurer comes in my office of the church I was pastoring at the time, and she said, oh, here's a check for you. Someone put it in the offering. It says, for Pastor Stan's college fund, $400. And it was Monday morning. The fear of the Lord struck me. I was like, man, Lord, you must really want me to take this class. And you know, it wasn't just about a tutor class. The professor, he asked me to go for an A because he was tired of teaching athletes who just wanted to get a C. He said, would you do me a blessing and go for an A? There's a lot of extra work, but he hurt his leg, and I borrowed him one of my mom's canes and walkers. And his wife ended up being Polish and Russian, and we were talking Polish. All of a sudden, by the end of the class, I realized it was a relational thing that the Lord wanted to do. It wasn't just about the class, and he provided that for me in no time at all, in the time frame that I had, but it was about relationship that he wanted me to establish with this couple. And it was the most amazing class that I had in my whole time there at Bethel. But it was one of those things that it was suddenly. And my expectation when I prayed was that, Lord, if you want me to have this class, then by Monday morning, I'm going to have the money. And so that came. So then let's look at Acts 12, starting at verse 1. And this is about Peter's escape from prison. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter too. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, there it is again, suddenly. So here he is. But I want to back up a little bit to where it says in verse 5, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. See, the word earnestly, it means serious and intense, not joking. Earnest means in a determined manner and constant. So here the church was constantly praying in a serious manner for Peter to be miraculously delivered from that prison, right? So then, so there he is in prison. Then when the suddenly happens, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. So here they were praying and they didn't know the result of their prayer was being answered in the manifestation of Peter right then and there. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt." See, his expectation was he needed to be delivered from that jail too. That was his expectation too, because he already saw one guy get killed, and he knew that was going to happen to him if the Lord didn't deliver him. So Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. So what was their expectation? You know that that's what they were praying for. So Rhoda says, "He's at the door," and they're like, "You're crazy. You're out of your mind. He can't possibly be there." When she kept insisting, I wonder what Peter's thinking. "Hey, can somebody kind of open this door, people?" When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was a great commotion among the soldiers. "What could have happened to Peter?" they asked. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. So what happens when you pray? And what is your expectation in prayer? Here they were praying, and they got a quick answer to their prayer. Peter, a suddenly of the Lord came, an angel of the Lord came, delivered him from that prison. He shows up at the door, and they're like, "What? This can't be him. You know, it's his angel." But so here it was. So what are you praying for? What are you contending for? Is there something that you've been praying and asking the Lord for years? Because in one moment, a suddenly can happen in your life, and it'll change forever. A suddenly. And absolutely, in one moment, it can change forever. There's times when I've been healed through surgery. There's other times when I've been divinely healed. I had a lung illness, and the Lord just suddenly took it away. Took it away in a moment's notice. It was gone. It was really bad. My lungs were near collapse. There's other times when I've been divinely healed. Other times, other surgeries. I have had a few surgeries. So there's an expectation that you have. And I was praying for my brothers. And I felt the Holy Spirit say that my one brother would come and the other one would follow. Well, my one brother came to the Lord years ago. The other one hasn't. The Lord had me give them both the same Bible and mark all these verses about love. And the first brother that came to the Lord, that Bible sat there on his table for a year on his nightstand by his TV. And one day it drove him so crazy, what could I have marked in there? And he looked up all those passages about love, and that's how he got saved. So my other brothers had that Bible for 14 years. But I'm going to stand on the promise because I was praying for their salvation. And the Holy Spirit said, one will come and the other will follow. One has come and the other one hasn't come yet, but I'm standing on that promise because the Holy Spirit said it so. And so I'm standing on it. And that's my expectation in prayer as I'm praying for salvation in my family. And so pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says to you in your place of prayer, in your place of standing on something for the Lord, standing on your promises. I'm standing here today saved because I know that my wife prayed for years for me to get saved, and others prayed for me. And so we are the manifestation of other people's prayers because people pray. We are standing answers of prayer because every one of us who's given their life to the Lord in this room, somebody has prayed for your salvation before you accepted the Lord. Somebody was praying for you. And so you're a walking manifestation of that prayer. So the last one, our expectations in the supernatural. Our desires to encounter the Lord. So do you desire an encounter with the Lord? You know, throughout the Word of God, there's so many who encountered. You know, I think of Moses, you know, you take off your shoes, this is holy ground. You know, when he came down from the mountain, had to put a veil over his face because he had encountered the Lord. That is just so amazing to me. And how many of, so many of them encountered the Lord. And then when Jesus raised him from the dead, when Jesus encountered the woman at the well, she became the evangelist of Samaria. All these different things, all these people who had encountered the Lord, their lives were changed forever. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to eat at your house tonight. Zacchaeus gave back all kinds of money that he had stolen from people because he had an encounter with the Lord, and his life was changed forever. Are you contending for an encounter with the Lord so that your life is changed forever? What are you after from the Lord? What are you expecting from the Lord? Are you seeking him? Are you going after him? So let's look at, still in Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, who was later named Paul, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, here it is again, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. You know, a little further down in Acts 22, Paul is telling this story, and he says the suddenly. He includes the suddenly. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. They led him by his hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument. So I love that Ananias is kind of like, Lord, do you really know about this guy? do you know what this guy is doing, Lord? Do you really want me to go? You know, and so I just find that fascinating. But then when he says, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry out my name before Gentiles and their kings, before the people of Israel, will show them how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house. You know, there was so much hinging on his obedience in that place. So here's two encounters with the Lord. Saul has one, a suddenly. Then there's another suddenly where Ananias has the Lord appear to him in a vision with a command for him to do something that could cause him his life. But he goes anyway. Then Ananias went to the house, verse 17, and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. Said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. So here was the suddenly of the Lord. You know, in Ananias, you know he was never the same. And Christianity was never the same, because from that point on, Saul began to preach, and he just turned everything upside down in his obedience. And we benefit from his writings. It's an amazing thing that what we end up having because of his obedience, because of Paul's obedience. So are you looking for encounters with the Lord? Are you expecting any suddenlies from him? Are you looking for a divine healing tonight? Are you looking for suddenly a touch from the Lord? There's times when you can't dictate the suddenlies of the Lord. I was working in a factory. I worked for 25 years. There was this young man who was working with me, and I was busy setting up the machine. All of a sudden, I had a suddenly. The Holy Spirit hit me, and I turned to this young man, and I said, "Do not have that abortion." The Lord said, "That is his creation. That is his child. Do not have that abortion." And they told no one. He started trembling, and he said, "How do you know that?" And I said, "The Lord just told me." And I said, "It's your response. The Lord is saying, do not have that abortion." And he got fired the next day, and I don't ever know whatever happened. And if they didn't go through with that, that child's probably about 25 years old. And I'm expecting one day for that child to come up to me and say, "Thank you for your obedience of that suddenly of the Lord and telling my dad not to abort me." And there was one day on my caller ID, it was that last name of his. And I thought, "Oh, is this it?" It was the wrong number. I was so disappointed. I thought maybe that was the day that that was going to happen for me. There was another time, just Fitness USA, just sitting around in the back room and by the pool, and the Lord said, "Get up and go talk to that guy. And he needs salvation." You know, and just next thing I know, I'm baptizing him in the pool. And so it's just one of those things where there's a suddenly. And there's a suddenly. But you know what? It wasn't about me. It was somebody else's suddenly. It was for them. It was the abortion thing was the word of the Lord for him. The word of the Lord of salvation of the testimony was for this other guy. It was a divine appointment for these other people. But God will use you and your obedience to change the life of other people, because they're looking for a suddenly. And guess what? You are part of that suddenly in their lives, because you said, "Yes, Lord, I'll tell them. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll go there." So the Lord is looking for maybe you to be involved in someone's deliverance. Do you need the Lord's power tonight, his truth, his strength, his grace, his mercy? Are you looking for a miracle? Have you been contending for years for a miracle? What are you contending for? And what are your expectations? Do you pray and believe and say, or do you pray like, "Oh, Lord, I need that miracle, but, I guess if you're willing, Lord, or you can give that miracle to someone else, but, I mean, how do we pray? Do we pray with expectation? Do we pray for that suddenly? Do we pray knowing that God can show up in a moment in the least likely of ways and use the least likely of people? A couple weeks ago, I found myself in need, and I said, "Well, Lord," someone wanted me to travel a few hours away to meet with them, and I said, "Lord, I don't have any money for dinner, and I don't have any money for gas, but you can lay it on somebody's heart, and they can reach in their pocket and give me money, and I can have dinner and gas and go meet this person." Within about 10 minutes, someone was talking to me after service, and they reached in their pocket and said, "The Lord told me to give this to you. It's not much." It was $93. So it was enough for the meal. It was enough for a tank of gas to get me where I needed. And I thought, why did I just ask for that? Why didn't I ask for, why did I stop there? Why did I just ask for a meal and a gas tank, But you know what? That was on my heart, because I really wanted to go meet that person. And so the Lord met my need. And he met it in the way in which I said, "Lord, you could just have somebody reach in their pocket and give that to me." And that's exactly how it happened. So be careful how you pray, and make your expectations even higher. Don't settle for $93 in a gas tank and a meal. Maybe you want to ask for a little bit more. But the Lord he's wanting to meet you in that place of your heart's desire. He wants to release the suddenlies in your life. He wants those encounters with you. He wants your life transformed because of one encounter with him. And sometimes it's the fuel for you to take maybe a mediocre Christianity to a higher level, to a greater place, to go harder and farther after God. When one encounter with him can change your life forever. Betsy's going to play some music, and I just really want you to come up for a time of prayer. Any of our healing team or the pastor team, the prophetic teamers here, anyone, they can minister to you. But I just want you to come up for prayer. If there's something that, if you've been wanting an encounter with the Lord, if you've been wanting that that miracle from the Lord, if there's something that you've been contending for a long time, let us have the privilege of praying for you in this time, praying for you and praying with you, and seeing what the Lord will do. You know, the Lord loves to meet you in that expectation, meet you in that place of faith. And if you put an acronym to faith, it's fully and intentionally trusting Him. Faith is intentional in trusting Him. Are you intentional about wanting an encounter with the Lord tonight? Are you intentional about wanting a miracle that your life changed forever? So, Lord, I thank you for these here tonight, God. So, Lord, we thank you for your suddenlies that you bring upon us, God, that change our lives forever, Lord. So, Lord, we're asking this night, Lord, would you do it this night, Lord? Lord, for those who've been contending for healing for a long time, Lord, would you do it tonight, God? Those who have been in need of deliverance or salvation tonight, God, would tonight be the night of their suddenly, of their encounter with you, God? So, Lord, would you meet us in this place tonight, God? I feel like there are some here that have been praying for the salvation of a spouse for such a long time, and you're weary. You're weary because you don't see much fruit of your prayer. Maybe tonight, there are some that here that have been struggling for a long time with the constant in and out of sin, in and out of the same sin. Your deliverance is here tonight. The suddenly of the Lord is here tonight for you. I just sense that there's some physical healing, some emotional healing. I feel like there are some here that are emotionally tormented. You've been tormented for years. Lord said, tonight is the night of the mind of Christ for you. Tonight is your suddenly. Tonight is your deliverance. So anytime during this song, if you want to come up for prayer, I just encourage you to come up for prayer tonight. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Lord, we thank you for the way that you desire for us to encounter you, Lord, for the suddenlies, for our expectations and praise and prayer, God, our expectations for the supernatural, God. Lord, I ask that you would release dreams tonight, Lord, specific, strategic dreams tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask for healing in families tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask that healing in marriages. So, Lord, we come with expectation, Lord, for you to do these things, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you love to answer prayer, the way that you love to meet our needs and to meet us, God, for us to know you in a deeper, intimate way because of the way we encounter you daily, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh and anew tonight, God. Fill us afresh with the fullness of your Spirit, God. Pour out your Spirit on us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what it is that you're going to do in the days ahead. Position our hearts for miracles. Position our hearts to expect greater things from you, God. Position our hearts for the suddenlies, Lord. We want suddenly sightings, Lord. We want to see them. How you show up, God. We want to see them. We need you desperately, God. We need you desperately. Come, Lord Jesus, we need you. So, Lord, I ask your blessing on all those that have come tonight, God. I ask your blessing on us as we go from this place, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts tonight, God. Keep us safe on our travels home, Lord. In Jesus' name.